Chapter 32, A Short Spear. There was little discussion. Even if the storm still raged outside, they could make it back to the gateway using the blankets and rugs for cloaks. Avienda began dividing them while he seized Sidene, filling himself with life and death, molten fire and liquid ice. "Split them equally," he told her. He knew his voice was cold and emotionless. Asmodian had said he could go beyond that, but he had not managed to so far. She gave him a surprised look, but all she said was, "There is more of you to cover," and went on as she was. There was no point in arguing. In his experience from Emmons Field to the Maidens, if a woman wanted to do something for you, the only way to stop her was to tie her up, especially if it involved sacrifice on her part. The surprise was that she had not sounded acid, had not said anything about him being a soft wetlander. Maybe something good besides a memory had come out of this. She can't really mean never again. He suspected that she meant exactly that, though. Weaving a finger-thin flow of fire, he sliced the outline of a door in one wall, widening the gap at the top. Startlingly, daylight shone through. Releasing Sidene, he exchanged surprised looks with Avienda. He knew he had lost track of time. You lost track of the year. But they could not have been inside that long. Wherever they were, it was a great distance from Kyrian. He pushed against the block, but it did not budge until he put his back into it, dug in his heels, and shoved with all of his might. Just as it occurred to him that he very probably could have done this more easily with the power, the block toppled outward, taking him with it into cold, crisp, pale daylight. Not all the way, though. It stopped at an angle, propped against snow that had built up around the hut. Lying on his back, with only a bit of his head sticking out, he could see other mounds, some smooth drifts around sparse, stunted trees that he did not recognize, others maybe burying bushes or boulders. He opened his mouth and forgot what he was going to say as something swept through the air not 50 feet above him. A leathery gray shape, far bigger than a horse, on slow-beating widespread wings. A horny snout thrust out before, and clawed feet and thin, lizard-like tail trailing behind. His head twisted on its own to follow the thing's flight over the trees. There were two people on its back. Despite what seemed to be some sort of hooded garments, it was plain that they were scanning the ground below. If he had had more than his head showing, if he had not been directly under the creature, they would surely have seen him. "Leave the blankets," he said as he ducked back inside. He told her what he had seen. Maybe they'd be friendly and maybe not, but I'd as soon not find out. He was not sure he wanted to meet people who rode something like that in any case, if they were people. "We are going to sneak back to the gateway. As quickly as we can, but sneaking." For a wonder, she did not argue. When he commented on it, as he was helping her climb over the ice block, that was a wonder too. She accepted his hand without so much as a glare. She said, "I do not argue when you make sense, Randall Thor." That was hardly the way he remembered it. The land around them lay flat beneath its deep blanket of snow, but to the west, sharp white-tipped mountains rose, peaks wreathed in cloud. He had no difficulty knowing they lay west, for the sun was rising. Less than half its golden ball stuck above the ocean. He stared at that. The land slanted down enough for him to see waves crashing in violent spray on a rocky, boulder-strewn shore maybe half a mile away. An ocean to the east, stretching endlessly to the horizon and sun. If the snow had not been enough, that told him they were in no land he knew. Avienda stared at the rolling breakers and pounding waves in amazement, then frowned at him as it hit home. She might never have seen an ocean, but she had seen maps. In her skirts, the snow gave her even more trouble than it did him, and he floundered, digging his way through as much as walking, sometimes sinking to his waist. She gasped as he scooped her up in his arms and her green eyes glared. "We have to move faster than you can dragging those skirts," he told her. The glare faded, but she did not put an arm around his neck as he had half hoped. Instead, she folded her hands and put on a patient face, a bit touched with sullenness. Whatever changes what they had done might have wrought in her, she was not completely different. He could not understand why that should be a relief. He could have melted a path through the snow as he had in the storm, but if another of those flying things came, that cleared path would lead straight to them. A fox trotted by across the snow well to his right, pure white except for a black tip to its bushy tail, occasionally eyeing him and Avienda warily. Rabbit tracks marred the snow in places, blurred where they had leapt, and once he saw the prints of a cat that had to be as large as a leopard. Maybe there were larger animals still. Maybe some flightless relative of that leathery creature. Not something he wanted to encounter, but there was always the chance the flyers might take the plowed furrow he was leaving now as the track of some animal. He still made his way from tree to tree, wishing there were more of them, and closer together. Of course, if there had been, he might not have found Avienda in the storm. She grunted, frowning up at him, and he loosened his hold on her again. But it would surely have helped now. It was because he was creeping in that way, though, that he saw the others first. Less than 50 paces away, between him and the gateway, right at the gateway, he could feel his weave holding it, were 4 people on horseback and more than 20 afoot. The mounted were all women shrouded in long, thick, fur-lined cloaks. 2 of them each wore a silvery bracelet on her left wrist, connected by a long leash of the same shining stuff, to a bright collar tied around the neck of a gray-clad, cloakless woman standing in the snow. The others afoot were men in dark leather and armor painted green and gold, overlapping plates down their chests and the outsides of their arms and fronts of their thighs. Their spears bore green and gold tassels, their long shields were painted in the same colors, and their helmets seemed to be the heads of huge insects, faces peering out through the mandibles. One was clearly an officer, lacking spear or shield, but with a curved two-handed sword on his back. Silver outlined the plates of his lacquered armor, and thin green plumes, like feelers, heightened the illusion of his painted helmet. Rand knew where he and Avienda were now. He had seen armor like that before, and women collared like that. Setting her down behind something that looked a little like a wind-twisted pine, except that its trunk was smooth and gray, streaked with black, he pointed, and she nodded silently.
"The 2 women on leashes can channel," he whispered. "Can you block them?"
Hurriedly, he added,
"Don't embrace the source yet. They're prisoners, but they still might warn the others. And even if they don't, the women with the bracelets might be able to feel them sense you."
She looked at him oddly, but wasted no time on foolish questions, such as how he knew. They would come later, he knew.
"The women with the bracelets can channel also," she replied, just as softly. "It feels very strange, though. Weak, as if they had never practiced it. I cannot see how that can be."
Rand could. Damani were the ones who were supposed to be able to channel. If 2 women had somehow slipped through the Shanchan net to become Suldam instead, and from the little he knew of them, that would not be easy, for the Shanchan tested every last woman during the years that she might first show signs of channeling. They would surely never dare to betray themselves.
"Can you shield all 4?
She gave him a very smug look.
"Of course. Egwene taught me to handle several flows at once. I can block them, tie those off, and wrap them up in flows of air before they know what is happening."
That self-satisfied little smile faded.
"I am fast enough to handle them and their horses, but that leaves the rest to you, until I can bring help. If any get away, they can surely cast those spears this far, and if one of them pins you to the ground..."
For a moment she muttered under her breath, as if angry that she could not complete a sentence. Finally she looked at him, her gaze as furious as he had ever seen it.
Egwene has told me of healing, but she knows little and I less. What could she be angry about now?
Better to try understanding the sun than a woman, he thought wryly. Tom Marilyn had told him that, and it was simple truth. You take care of shielding those women, he told her. I will do the rest. Not until I touch your arm, though. He could tell she thought he was boasting, but he would not have to split flows, only weave one intricate flow of air that would bind arms to sides and hold horses' feet as well as human. Taking a deep breath, he grabbed hold of Sidene, touched her arm, and channeled. Shocked cries rose from the Seanchan. He should have thought of gags, too, but they could be through the gateway before they attracted anyone else. Holding onto the source, he seized Avienda's arm and half-dragged her through the snow, ignoring her snarls that she could walk. At least this way he broke a trail for her, and they had to hurry. The Seanchan quieted, staring as he and Avienda made their way around in front of them. The two women, who were not Suldam, had thrown back their hoods, struggling against his weave. He held it rather than tying. He would have to release it when he went away anyway, for the simple reason that he could not leave even Seanchan bound in the snow. If they did not freeze to death, there was always the big cat whose tracks he had seen. Where there was one, there must be more. The gateway was there all right, but instead of looking into his room in Ironrod, it was a gray blank. It seemed narrower than he remembered, too. Worse, he could see the weave of that grayness. It had been woven from Sidene. Furious thought slid across the void. He could not tell what it was meant to do, yet it could easily be a trap for whoever stepped through, woven by one of the male Forsaken. By Asmodian, most likely. If the man could hand him over to the others, he might be able to regain his place among them. Yet there could be no question of staying here. If Avienda only remembered how she had woven the gateway in the first place, she could open another. But as it was, they were going to have to use this, trap or no. One of the mounted women, a black raven in front of a stark tower on the gray breast of her cloak, had a severe face and dark eyes that seemed to want to drill into his skull. Another, younger and paler and shorter, yet more regal, wore a silver stag's head on her green cloak. The little fingers of her riding gloves were too long. Rand knew from the shaven sides of her scalp that those long fingers covered nails grown long, and no doubt lacquered, both signs of Seanchan nobility. The soldiers were stiff-faced and stiff-backed, but the officer's blue eyes glittered behind the jaws of the insect-like helmet, and his gauntleted fingers writhed as he struggled futilely to reach his sword. Rand did not care very much about them, but he did not want to leave the Damani behind. At the least, he could give them a chance to escape. They might be staring at him as they would a wild animal with bared fangs, but they had not chosen to be prisoners, treated little better than domestic animals themselves. He put a hand to the collar of the nearest and felt a jolt that nearly numbed his arm. For an instant, the void shifted, and Sidene raged through him like the snowstorm a thousandfold. The Damani's short yellow hair flailed as she convulsed at his touch, screaming, and the Suldam connected to her gasped, face going white. Both would have fallen if not held by bonds of air. You try it, he told Avienda, working his hand. A woman must be able to touch the thing safely. I don't know how it unfastens. It looked of a piece, linked somehow, just like bracelet and leash. But it went on, so it must be able to come off. A few moments could not make any difference to whatever had happened to the gateway. Was it Asmodian? Avienda shook her head, but began fumbling at the other woman's collar. Hold still, she growled as the Damani, a pale-faced girl of 16 or 17, tried to flinch back. If the leashed woman had looked on Rand as a wild beast, they stared at Avienda like a nightmare made flesh.
She is Marath Damani, the pale girl wailed. Save Sari, mistress! Please, mistress, save Sari!
The other Damani, older, almost motherly, began weeping uncontrollably. Avienda glared at Rand as hard as she did the girl for some reason, muttering angrily under her breath as she worked at the collar.
"It is he, Lady Morsa,"
the other Damani Suldam said suddenly in a soft drawl that Rand could barely understand.
"I have borne the bracelet long, and I could tell if the Marath Damani had done more than block Jinni."
Morsa did not look surprised. In fact, there seemed to be a light of horrified recognition in her blue eyes as she gazed at Rand. There was only one way that could be. "You were at Falma," he said. If he went through first, it meant leaving Avienda behind, although only for a moment.
"I was."
The noblewoman looked faint, but her slow, slurring voice was coolly imperious.
"I saw you, and what you did."
"Take care I don't do the same here. Give me no trouble, and I will leave you in peace." He could not send Avienda first, into the light knew what. If emotion had not been so distant, he would have grimaced the way she was grimacing over that collar. They had to go through together and be ready to face anything.
"Much has been kept secret about what happened in the lands of the great Hawkwing, Lady Morsa," the severe-faced woman said.
Her dark eyes were as hard on Morsa as they had been on him.
"Rumors fly that the ever-victorious army has tasted defeat. Do you seek truth in rumor, Jalandin?"
Morsa asked in a cutting tone.
"A seeker above all should know when to keep silent. The Empress herself has forbidden speech of the Karina until she calls it again. If you or I speak so much as the name of the city where that expedition landed, our tongues will be removed. Perhaps you would enjoy being tongueless in the Tower of Ravens? Not even the listeners would hear you scream for mercy or pay heed."
Rand understood no more than two words in three, and it was not the odd accents. He wished he had time to listen. Corina? The Return. That was what the Seanchan in Falma had called their attempt to seize the lands beyond the Arath Ocean. The lands where he lived, that they considered their birthright. The rest, Seeker, Listeners, the Tower of Ravens, were a mystery. But apparently the Return had been called off, for the time being at least. That was worth knowing. The gateway was narrower. Maybe as much as a finger-width narrower than moments before. Only his block held it open. It had tried to close as soon as Avienda released her weave, and it was still trying to. "Hurry," he told Avienda, and she gave him a look so patient it could as well have been a stone between his eyes.
"I am trying, Randolthor," she said, still working at the collar.
Tears trickled down Ceri's cheeks. A continuous low moan came from her throat, as if the Aiel woman intended to slit it.
"You nearly killed the other two, and maybe yourself. I could feel the power rushing into both of them wildly when you touched the other collar. So leave it to me, and if I can do it, I will."
Muttering a curse, she tried at the side. Rand thought about making the Suldam remove the collars. If anyone knew how the things came off, they would. But from the set frowns on their faces, he knew he would have to force them to it. If he could not kill a woman, he could not very well torture one. With a sigh, he glanced at the gray blankness filling the gateway again. The flows appeared to be woven into his. He could not slice one without the other. Passing through might trigger the trap, but cutting away the grayness, even if that act did not trip it, would allow the gateway to snap shut before they had a chance to leap through. It would have to be a blind jump into the light knew what. Morsa had listened carefully to every word he and Avienda said, and now she was gazing thoughtfully at the two Suldam. But Jalandin had never taken her eyes from the noblewoman's face.
"Much has been kept secret that should not be held from the Seekers, Lady Morsa," the stern woman said. "The Seekers must know all." "You forget yourself, Jalandin,"
Morsa snapped, her gloved hands jerking. Had her arms not been bound to her sides, she would have sawed the reins. As it was, she tilted her head to stare down her nose at the other woman.
"You were sent to me because Sarak looks above himself and has designs on Sarangadadai and Tuol, not to ask of what the Empress has..."
Jalandin broke in harshly.
It is you who forgets herself, Lady Marsa, if you think that you are proof against the seekers for truth. I myself have put both a daughter and a son of the Empress, may the light bless her, to the question, and in gratitude for the confessions I wrenched from them, she allowed me to gaze upon her. Think you that your minor house stands higher than the Empress's own children?
Morsa remained upright, not that she had much choice, but her face went gray and she licked her lips.
The Empress, may the light illumine her forever, already knows far more than I can tell. I did not mean to imply.
The seeker cut her off again, twisting her head to speak to the soldiers as if Morsa did not exist.
The woman Morsa is in the custody of the seekers for truth. She will be put to the question as soon as we return to Merinlo. And the Suldaman de Mani as well. It seems they too have hidden what they should not.
Horror painted the faces of the named women, but Morsa could have stood for any of them. Eyes wide and suddenly haggard, she slumped as much as her invisible bonds would allow, voicing not a word of protest. She looked as if she had wanted to scream, yet she accepted. Jalandin's gaze turned to Rand.
She named you Randall Thor. You will be well treated if you surrender to me, Randall Thor. However you came here, you cannot think to escape, even if you kill us. There is a wide search for a Marath Damani who channeled in the night.
Her eyes flickered to Avienda.
It will find you as well, inevitably, and you might be slain by accident. There is sedition in this district. I do not know how men like you are treated in your lands, but in Shonchan your sufferings can be eased. Here you can find great honor in the use of your power.
He laughed at her, and she looked offended.
I cannot kill you, but I vow I should stripe your hide at least for that.
He certainly would not have to worry about being gentled in Shonchan hands. In Shonchan, men who could channel were killed, not executed, hunted and shot down on sight. The gray-filled gateway was another finger narrower, barely wide enough now for both of them to pass through together.
Leave her, Avienda. We have to go now.
She released Ceri's collar and gave him an exasperated look, but her eyes went past him to the gateway, and she hoisted her skirts to stump through the snow to him, muttering to herself about frozen water.
Be ready for anything, he told her, putting an arm around her shoulders.
He told himself they had to be close together to fit, not because she felt good.
I don't know what, but be ready.
She nodded, and he said,
Jump!
Together they leaped into the grayness, Rand releasing the weave that had held the Shonchan in order to fill himself to bursting with Sidon. And landed, stumbling in his bedchamber, an iron rod, lamplit with darkness outside the windows. Asmodian sat against the wall beside the door with his legs crossed. He was not embracing the source, but Rand slammed a block between the man and Sidon anyway. Whirling with his arm still around Avienda, he found the gateway gone. No, not gone. He could still see his weaving, and what he knew must be Asmodian's. But there seemed to be nothing there at all. Without pause, he slashed his weave, and suddenly the gateway appeared. A rapidly narrowing view of Shonchan, the Lady Morsa slumped in her saddle, Jalandin shouting orders. A green and white tasseled spear lanced through the opening just before it snapped shut. Instinctively, Rand channeled air to snatch the suddenly wobbling 2-foot length of spear. The shaft ended as smoothly as any craftsman could have worked it. Shivering, he was glad that he had not tried removing the gray barrier, whatever it had been, before jumping through. A good thing neither of the Suldam recovered in time, he said, taking the severed spear in his hand. Or we'd have had worse than this coming after us. He watched Asmodian from the corner of his eye, but the man only sat there, looking slightly ill. He could not know whether Rand meant to stuff that spear down his throat. Avienda's sniff was her most pointed yet.
Do you think I released them? She said heatedly.
She removed his arm firmly, but he did not think her temper was for him, or not for his arm anyway.
I tied their shields as tightly as I could. They are your enemies, Randall Thor. Even the ones you call Damani are faithful dogs would have killed you rather than be free. You must be hard with your enemies, not soft.
She was right, he thought, hefting the spear. He had left enemies behind that he might well have to face one day. He had to become harder. Or else he would be ground to flour before he ever reached Sheol Ghul. Abruptly, she began smoothing her skirts, and her voice became almost conversational.
I noticed that you did not save that way-faced Morsa from her fate. From the way you looked at her, I thought big eyes and a round bosom had caught your eye.
Rand stared at her in amazement that oozed across the emptiness surrounding him like syrup. She could have been saying the soup was ready. He wondered how he was supposed to have noticed Morsa's bosom, hidden as it was in a fur-lined cloak. I should have brought her, he said, to question her about the Seanchan. I will be troubled by them again, I am afraid. The glint that had appeared in her eye vanished. She opened her mouth, but stopped, glancing at Asmodian, when he raised a hand. He could all but see the questions about Seanchan piled up behind her eyes. If he knew her, once begun, she would not stop digging until she had uncovered scraps he did not even remember he knew. Which might not be a bad thing. Another time. After he had wrung a few answers out of Asmodian. She was right. He had to be hard.
That was a smart thing you did, she said, hiding the hole I made. If a guy Shine had come in here, 1,000 of the Spear Sisters might have marched through seeking you.
Asmodian cleared his throat.
One of the guy Shine did come. Someone named Sulin had told her she must see you eat, my lord dragon. And to stop her from bringing the tray in here and finding you gone, I took the liberty of telling her that you and the young woman did not want to be disturbed.
A slight tightening of his eyes caught Rand's attention.
What? Just that she took it strangely. She laughed out loud and went running off. A few minutes later, there must have been 20 Fardarai's Mai beneath the window, shouting and beating their spears and their bucklers for a good hour or more. I must say, my lord dragon, some of the suggestions they called up startled even me.
Rand felt his cheeks burning. It had happened on the other side of the bloody world, and still the maidens knew. But Avienda only narrowed her eyes.
Did she have hair and eyes like mine?
She did not wait for Asmodian's nod.
It must have been my first sister, Niela.
She saw the startled question on Rand's face and answered it before he could speak.
Niela is a weaver, not a maiden, and she was taken half a year ago by Charin maidens during a raid on Sulara Hold. She tried to talk me out of taking the spear, and she has always wanted me wed. I'm going to send her back to the Charin with a welt on her bottom for everyone she told.
Rand caught her arm as she started to stalk out of the room. I want to talk with Natale. I don't suppose there is much time left until dawn.
2 hours, maybe, Asmodian put in.
So there will be little sleeping now. If you want to try, would you mind making your bed elsewhere for what's left of the night? You need new blankets anyway. She nodded curtly before pulling loose and slammed the door behind her. Surely she was not angry at being tossed out of his bedchamber. How could she be? She had said nothing more would happen between them. But he was glad he was not Niela. Bouncing the shortened spear in his hand, he turned to Asmodian.
A strange scepter, my lord dragon.
It will do for one. To remind him that the Seanchan were still out there. For once he wished his voice was even colder than the void and Saidin made it. He had to be hard.
Before I decide whether to skewer you with it like a lamb, why did you never mention this trick of making something invisible? If I hadn't been able to see the flows, I'd never have known the gateway was still there.
Asmodian swallowed, shifting as though he did not know whether Rand meant his threat. Rand was not sure himself.
My lord dragon, you never asked. A matter of bending light. You always have so many questions, it is hard to find a moment to speak of anything else. You must realize by now that I have thrown my lot in with yours completely. Licking his lips, he got up, as far as his knees, and began to babble.
I felt your weave. Anybody within a mile could have felt it. I never saw anything like it. I didn't know that anyone but Demondred could block a gateway that was closing, and maybe Simmerhug, and Lustheran. I felt it, and came, and a hard time I had getting past those maidens. I used the same trick. You must know I am your man now. My Lord Dragon, I am your man.
It was the repetition of what the Cariennan had said that got through as much as anything else. Gesturing with the half-spear, he said roughly, Stand. You want a dog. But as Asmodean slowly rose, he laid the long spear point alongside the man's throat. He had to be hard. From now on, you will tell me two things I don't ask about every time we talk. Every time, mind. If I think you are trying to hide anything from me, you will be glad to let Simmerhug have you.
As you say, my Lord Dragon,
Asmodean stammered. He looked ready to bow and kiss Rand's hand. To avoid the chance, Rand moved to the blanketless bed and sat on the linen sheet, the feather mattresses yielding under him as he studied the spear. A good idea to keep it for remembrance, if not as a scepter. Even with everything else, he had best not forget the Seanchan. Those Demani. If Avienda had not been there to block them from the source. You have tried showing me how to shield a woman and failed. Try showing me how to avoid flows I cannot see, how to counter them. Once Lanfear had sliced his weavings as neatly as with a knife.
Not easy, my Lord Dragon, without a woman to practice against.
We have 2 hours, Rand said coldly, letting the man's shield unravel. Try very hard.